announcements. Besides setting your mobile phone to vibrate so it doesn't break people's concentration, the Hotel Pennsylvania has been very good to us, and they allow us to come back year after year or year after every other year. So please do your best to keep the hijinks outside of the hotel. For instance, if you've bought a TV Be Gone, stop turning the displays off in the foyer downstairs in the lobby. We offered them tape to put over the ports, but they said, no, we don't need it. Please, if you could, don't rewire the elevators. Stay off the roof. I can attest to that one. And again, keep things outside of the hotel because they do let us come back each time and have been very good to us. So thank you very much for that. Also, remember, there's a lot of stuff to see and do down in the pavilion downstairs. Also, for the people that sort of congregate in the very back, if you could keep from speaking and talking and socializing back there, because it does drift up here. This is a conference room and not sort of a social area, so see if you can keep it down back there so as not to disturb people. DVD sales of all the talks are in the vendor area over here, and you can always sign up for the fourth track, which is in the room down the hall. Right now there's a discussion called A Solar Compass for the Human Domain. Right now, we're going to get to Wikipedia, which people love to change and vandalize on a daily basis. This is called Wikipedia. You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy with Virgil Griffith.
Hi. Okay. Hi, I'm Virgil, and this is going to be my talk. Let's see. You can see that's my contact information. I am officially a disruptive technologist. The Washington Post called me that, so I put that on my little label there. And there's my website. And so if you want to see any of the materials, you'll be able to get them there. I guess we should just go ahead and get started. So to begin, a lot of you don't know. This entire talk is basically a Wikiscanner 2.0 talk. So if you don't know what Wikiscanner, you'll be updated.
Can we reach sound? It's important.
We could here. There we go. We are hackers here.
Oh. No. Bad. Oh, no. Not good at all. Oh, that. Oh. All right, try that again.
Everyone knows I'm a huge booster of Wikipedia. I support any site that devotes more coverage to the lightsaber than the printing press. But lately, I've caught myself having Encyclopedia Britannica fantasies. I took a long, cold shower before I stopped thinking about Volume 14, Log to Move. Now, what's given me the wandering eye? This guy. A 24-year-old hacker named Virgil Griffith. He created something called Wikiscanner, a website that traces Wikipedia edits to the computer networks where they originated. The result? We now know who edited what, and some of the most enthusiastic Wikipedia editors are corporations. Dozens of corporate edits have been unmasked. For instance, someone at the New York Times actually changed President Bush's Wikipedia page by adding the phrase, jerk. For that, they will win a Pulitzer Prize. But as I learned more about these Wikiscanner revelations, I became disturbed, folks. The website revealed that someone at Pepsi deleted an entire section of the Pepsi page titled Long-Term Health Effects. And someone at ExxonMobil changed the Valdez oil spill page to add that it had, quote, no long-term severe impact. Folks, Wikiscanner is the sort of intrusive snooping that no one should be allowed to do outside of our Justice Department. And it brings us to tonight's word.
democracy determine reality. If we all decide that there are five pints in a quart, that's objectively true. But now, Wikiscanner threatens another concept that's even more American than democracy. Self-invention. The idea that you can be whoever you want to be, whoever you say you are. Now, you may come from generations of Connecticut blue blood and have gone to the finest prep schools out east, but if you clear brush and talk with the Texas twang, you are a cowboy. And this is especially true in the virtual world, where usernames and avatars let anyone construct a brand, a brand new identity, and leave reality behind. In real life, you see, I'm Stephen Colbert, beloved pundit. But in the world of Warcraft, I'm Orcon, Orc Warrior. And on Craigslist, I'm fit, healthy, clean, and athletic. None of these online personas ever trace back to your real-world identity. That, folks, is the social compact that protects people on the Internet. And we have to remember that corporations are people, too. So they have the same right to be whoever they want to be in the virtual universe. Think of Wikipedia as Second Life for corporations. If virtual Walmart wants to pretend they're Norma Rae fighting for workers' rights, that's their business. And if ExxonMobil wants to present itself as a friend of the environment, well, they have the right to that online fantasy. That's why we must get rid of Wikiscanner and restore anonymity to Wikipedia. Because to truly use democracy to create reality on the Internet, we need a secret ballot so everyone can vote. And that's the word. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Oh, that's still bad. All right.
Alright. So this is a brief recap, because, like, roughly, this is, I mean, we're largely doing the same trick, we're doing it in different ways, so, you know, we should cover that. So in short, when you edit Wikipedia, you have two choices. You can register an account, and you leave your account name, or you can edit anonymously, and you don't have an account. But when you edit anonymously, it leaves your IP address. And, you know, but this is not meant to be sneaky. This was, ostensibly, this was done just to distinguish your anonymous edit from other people's anonymous edits, because, you know, it would be kind of confusing otherwise. However, it has the caveat that sometimes IP addresses can be traced back to the location, but it's kind of tricky. But this gives one an idea.
Oh, no, don't do that.
There we go. Okay, so there's that, and Wikipedia provides monthly dumps of everything on Wikipedia, and you can just download it. If you just Google download space Wikipedia, it'll be the first hit. It's pretty easy. And you just download them all, and you get all the anonymous edits out. It's about 21%. And tracing IP addresses is hard, but you can buy a database that'll do it for you. There are three big databases that do this. Unfortunately, they all cost money, but what you gonna do? The companies are maxmind.com, ip2location.com, and quova.com. And they're in that order of price, with Quova being most expensive. And they do it, you merge them together, and you have, and lulls happens. Okay, so if you want, well, we can go through these, why not? In short, you can just kind of read them. Yes, a lot to edit Wikipedia, you know, CIA does, it's kind of exciting. So we'll go through these. So the CIA actually added, so people joined the CIA, but it's not really that exciting, but we'll show it real quick. Hit the button. Oh. Well, I'll say about it. Anyway, so in the first edit, it has the CIA making entry to lightsaber combat style. And presumably, the CIA doesn't actually care about lightsaber combat. And then in the second one, it has them editing entry about Black September in Jordan. And I'm showing these. Yeah, here we go. Here's the lightsaber combat. Now, I like this one because, like, when you think of, like,
people editing Wikipedia using these big, evil, monolithic corporations or something like that. And CA is like the most, like, dark theory you could possibly think of. But no, these are just random people kind of goofing off, being really into Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and lightsaber combat. So just because CA is editing Wikipedia doesn't mean they're doing nefarious deeds. So here's another one here. So this guy here was probably like an old retired CIA agent, and he kind of wrote like a whole personal memoir going on over here. I have no idea if this is true or not, but it's probably true. Since it's written almost from the first person. If you want your memoir read, Wikipedia is not a bad place for that. So let me show you that. There actually was a lawsuit filed about it. So someone from the Arkansas governor's office, someone from the Arkansas governor's state office whitewashed a page of Mike Huckabee, who has been a presidential candidate. And this was very spicy because you shouldn't be doing that from government machines, whitewashing your candidate's pages. And there was a FOIA lawsuit filed about it from some AP reporters. And I don't know what the result that's going to be. And a Dutch princess was caught whitewashing her own page, covering her connection to a drug baron. And we know that because we were able to trace it back to the palace, but we didn't know it was her until the Dutch media said, "Oh, there's this salacious edit," and then she immediately fessed up. So that was very nice. Plus we do hire staff to police the Wikipedia pages, and yeah, they do that. So here you go. So here's one for Conrad Burns. He went from a controversial speaker to a voice for the farmer. But this isn't too uncommon. I mean, don't get me wrong, this is all really fantastic. But you get used to it. It doesn't become quite as often. But if you're enjoying it, that's good. Interesting stuff. So this is kind of neat. None of this is mine, but it's kind of cool, and I kind of want to spread it around. So this is neat. So there's this website here. Oh, can I view the URL? There we go. Oh, here we go. It's stats.grok.c. And basically, it lets you see the number of hits to a Wikipedia page. This is the number of hits to the page Hope. And this is kind of nice, because if you have a Wikipedia user account, you can see how many people are looking at your page. And that's kind of interesting. This is really all there is to it. I don't know, for people who are into Wikipedia, this is kind of neat. This is kind of neat, too. So you type in a particular page, and it will tell you various stats about the page. So let's do Hope again. Again, there's nothing here really huge here, but you can see who are the major users that edit the page. So in this case, we see there's one user who's like really into this page. This fellow right here. I don't know who this person is. But anyway, so this is kind of neat. So if you want to do your own kind of Wikipedia related work, these are some really nice stepping stones along the way. And here's another thing that's a bit more sophisticated, that I think deserve more press than they've gotten. This tries to color the background Wikipedia text based on how long it's existed in Wikipedia. So it says Wikipedia is fundamentally a Darwinian process. The really good text that's trustworthy and good stays around a long time. And you can measure the trustworthiness of a piece of text based on how long it's existed unchanged. And it colors it. And you can see a little pretty demo here. And suppose you have a new version of this coming out soon, and that's kind of neat. So let's see if we can see a nice example. There we go. Bow generation added on about cheerleading. So you see here the highlighted areas have recently been added, and you should trust those less, is sort of the idea. And I think this is actually very nice, because one of the main criticisms leveled against Wikipedia is that, you don't know if someone 5 minutes ago edited that page and added complete nonsense. But this, like, completely destroys that objection, because if it adds 5 minutes ago, well, it'll be bright orange. And you know that. So there you go. So that was very nice. And this thing called Vizpedia. So this is brand new, and this is from Stanford. And I want to see the bookmarks fly. Okay. What this does is this allows you to graph any tables you see on Wikipedia. And this is still kind of in beta, but it's pretty neat anyway. See, so let's pick one on the, here you go. List of California. Okay, here's what we're going to do. So we're going to click here. We're going to go to visualize this. We click the button. We click the table. And I want to see a map of it, please. And I want, and on this map, I will maybe we'll do like location of each mountain and maybe like the name of the mountain or something. I'm not really just advertising for you, but it's just kind of neat. So we want a mountain, a peak, yeah. So peak lat, please, and then peak long. And maybe for the caption, we'll just put name. Let's see. Here we go, mountain range. Okay, and we click the button. And once you can make it show you a picture of each mountain or something, but, you know, it's not really a big of a deal. So, and here they are. And you can click them. And there's the mountain range, and flat and long. So, this is kind of neat. I mean, it's neat. You can grab anything in Wikipedia now. So, darn nifty. Okay, on to other stuff. Okay, now I want to go to more security-related things. So in short, the Wiki scanner was all fun and all, but it was really easy to circumvent. Most notably, if you just registered an account, you were completely invisible because this only worked on the anonymous edits. Further, if you just edited like not from your corporate IP range, that would work too. So if you went home and made your edits, like you know, Wiki scanner has no idea who you are and where to catch you. So we can do much better than that. So, and this I introduced the Wiki Watcher. The Wiki Watcher is kind of a superset of the Wiki Scanner. People ask about the plus plus. If you put the plus plus on the other side, the assignment isn't right. So just for those of you paying attention. So in honor of Hopi, the date there is 1984. So I'm going to show you some demos here, and I'm going to show you some exhibits. So in Wikiscanner, there are three tools, and there are four exhibits, and the ones that are red are the ones I'll be showing you. And the tools is something interactive you can play with, and the exhibits is just kind of a static thing, but it's still exciting. So let's go with the poor man's check user first. So for those of you that don't know about check user is a power that some Wikipedia administrators have to learn the IP address of a registered account. Not many people have this, and it's kind of guarded. But we can do it in kind of a ghetto style. And I'll kind of show you how. So sometimes you can't get an IP address of a registered account. Here's how. So we click the button. Oh, nope, that's wrong. Oop-doo-doo. Nope. Oh, here we go. Okay, so here's what happens. So sometimes people will be editing a long time on a talk page, and they will submit using their IP address down here. Now this can happen for multiple reasons. It can happen if you spend a very, very long time composing your response on a talk page. Your session will time out, and if you click submit, sometimes it'll submit with your IP address naked. And the other thing that happens is sometimes people will just forget to log in. But regardless, your IP address is now showing on the talk page. And you don't like that. So you really quickly log in, and you replace the IP address with your username. Now, this is really convenient, because this gives you a connection between an IP address and a username. So now you can go over all of Wikipedia looking just for those. And I've done that. So let's see that real quick. Let's do an opera, because opera is better. And here we go. So let's here are the different usernames here. So I have IP address for about 13,000 different usernames. Not a bad deal, especially considering that most of these usernames, so this is more likely to happen to you the more you edit Wikipedia. So this 13,000 is from the most frequent contributors. It's really long. So we want to click here the evidence. So we think, this username is this IP address, and we'll just pick one. And there we go. And we can see this for a few exciting people. Oh, come on. Well, we're waiting for the page to load so we can see Jimbo Wales. There we go. So he's in there several times. And I like this email, Wilson, because this shows that I mean, this is a really stupid mistake, but I mean, it happens to everyone. It only has to happen once. If it ever happened once, you know, well, then you're gone. So this is nice. And most Wikipedia administrators here are on here. Okay, so an extension to this. So the next obvious thing to do is to check sock puppets using this. So sock puppet is the Wikipedia jargon for when you register multiple accounts and you treat them as they're separate people. So you make them into arguments with each other. I mean, in short, you have multiple accounts that act like two different people. And the idea is that the term comes about you being like a puppet master in the sock puppets. So, and this is really neat because now we can detect these things really trivially. There we go. So what this does is we just go down the poor man's check user list, and we just see which ones have the same IP address. And here are a lot of suspected sock puppets. Now, this can be made a little bit better. Now, I'm showing you to this one now. This one probably isn't going to be the final version isn't going to be released quite yet, because it would be nice if you had this sorted by ISP instead of by IP address, and the SQL query is for that is running, like, right now. So it'll be done, like, probably in a day or two. So in this case, if you had many users that were all part of the same mom and pop ISP, even if they don't have exactly the same IP address, you might think they're the same person. But as is, this is pretty darn good. So if your account's on here, you're probably gonna get a letter from the administrators shortly. So this is the two main exhibits. Now I want to show you the new Wiki scanner and a new tool called Wikiganda. So let's do the Wiki scanner right now. So both of these tools they're made by some students of mine at Caltech, Daniel Ehrenrich and Richie Chandy. Daniel made this one. I'm much indebted. So two real problems with the Wiki scanner. Well, there were two major problems. The first one was that it was really, really annoying to go through a large amount of edits. So if you look at, say, Department of Homeland Security, you want to see all their edits. There'd be thousands of those things, and you don't want to go through them all. It's really annoying. So we wanted to automate that process. So here's what you can do. We want to automate the finding of the interesting things. We're doing this using the trademark database and link distance. So, for example, if Microsoft edits the Zune page, we will automatically flag this because from the trademark database, we know that Zune is a trademark of Microsoft. And we can just automatically flag that and say this is interesting. The other one is that we can use link distance. So the .NET framework page, even if .NET framework is not a trademark of Microsoft, the .NET framework page links to the Microsoft page on Wikipedia, and we have a list of all the major corporations and their Wikipedia pages. So anytime a company edits a page that links to their corporate page, then that's probably interesting as well. And you can just flag all of those, and you can have like a nice and very nice, you know, RSS feed every single day for what's probably salacious on Wikipedia. So I'll show you a quick demo here. Oh, should be in here.
Where'd you wrong?
Erased it. Well, we'll do D-bowl. It'll be fine. So here's D-bowl. We can see all the little fun little edits. Quickie. In this case, the scanner automatically detected edits to the page debold were interesting. So in this case, the connection is pretty obvious, but there are other ones. So we could say Microsoft, for example. Oh, that's going to be a lot. Let's pick just one of these. This might be a... Oh, that's not so bad. Okay. This is also including the username. So these are all the usernames we know they're from a Microsoft IP range that I showed you before. And these pages here are pages that link to the Microsoft page. And these, I don't know... they probably say Elder Scrolls for Microsoft Windows. Anyway, so you see, you just click these things and you can see them, and you can quickly inspect and see if they're interesting. And the hope behind this is that this makes it much faster to find the interesting stuff, and that's likely exciting. And I think this tool will probably be publicly released in probably about a week or so. It needs to be, it can't quite scale quite yet. But this is basically the functionality. Just to be clear, the main features in the new Wiki Scanner are number one, it's automatically detecting conflict of interest, and it's using the poor man's check user as well. So it's also searching the user registered edits. So this next one here is Wikiganda. This one is different. So I saw this Discovery Channel thing like maybe a few months ago, and it described Wikipedia as like this vast information war zone where like these entrenched parties, you know, like going at each other like all the time. As far as I know, this has never actually been shown. It might be true, but we really don't know. So I thought it'd be nice to know. So here's what you do. So you pick two teams. We pick two real-life organizations who probably hate each other. And you see if their hatred spills over onto Wikipedia. So we'll just pick two real quick. So if you want, you can add more teams. We're going to add two members. But so we can add, say, Microsoft, and we can add Google. You know, you get the idea. If you want, you can add other things. You can add, you can add MIT or whatever. Anyway, you click go, and it shows you the pages that both teams have edited. And, of course, it's red versus blue, because that's just the way the world works. This might take a while, because these are all really big ranges. Here we go. That went faster than I thought. Well, that's nice. Okay, so both these people... Microsoft versus Google and Yahoo's views on Bollywood and human sexual behavior are not a contentious issue. But these are pages they both edited. And the idea is that you could perhaps see the pages where their views conflict, and you could see if they're going at each other consistently. One thing you can do is if you put like all the edits from Iran on the red team and all the edits from Israel on say the blue team, you'll see a lot of Holocaust stuff. So the Iranians will keep saying the Holocaust is a lie, and the Israelis will say no, it's not a lie. We'll just pick one here. Multimedia messaging service. Why not? So Microsoft Corp said, they just typo. Well, anyway, you get the idea. I mean, and this is all fresh. Like this demo has existed for roughly maybe 36 hours, so I haven't really gone through it yet. But you get the idea. And I hope this will decidedly answer the question of whether or not there are persistent edit wars happening in Wikipedia. And it probably will. So that'll be nice. Okay, one last one. This one's called the third tool. That's secret. You'll know about that in 2 weeks. Yeah, just stay tuned for that one. Moving on. So this last one here is called Beaverscope. And with Beaverscope, this is probably the most lighthearted of them. Now, come on, I'm going to load. Do. Oh. There we go. Okay. So it happens to be very close to the Caltech MIT pranking season. And I figured this is very this is gonna have to capitalize on that. So about a year ago, I go to Caltech, so pranking MIT is very important to me. About a year ago, I stumbled across a very impressive list of MIT external IP addresses that's really detailed. As a Wiki Watcher, I figured it'd be really nice if you could show all their edits down to embarrassing detail. So here you can see basically every single building, sometimes even the individual labs at MIT and what edits they've made. So this is one of the it'll take a while to load. So this is the Matt Wilson lab at MIT. This is like roughly a few rooms, and you can see all things they edited. These two aren't particularly salacious, but it shows you the level of detail, and they get more exciting though. So we have some other ones, and we can see, and we know someone in building W61 is really into tentacle rape. And you can see other things like this, and so this is meant to be the first volley of the pranking season. There's one other exhibit that isn't quite done yet. One of the summer students is working on it. It's an evening called Diebold.
This checks for a Wikipedia vote stacking for adminship. So if you're an administrator in Wikipedia, you know, you vote to see, well, it's not quite a vote, but it's something roughly like a vote, for who's the administrator. And so I know very frequently, users voting is highly correlated. So user A always votes the same way as user B, or always against user B. And with this, you could reveal correlations in users. And this would, I think this will have very high overlap with the sock puppetry.
Okay, so let's see all the exciting things I had to say about Wikipedia. If you have any, I want you to talk about that afterward. But now I'll tell you some more generic things. So, much to my surprise, very few people seem to do this intersection between computer security and data mining. And I don't know why, because it's really, really easy. And it's something that's largely untapped. So I think you all should be doing this, because, it's so trivial. Roughly all you have to do is just take any vulnerability someone else has thought of, and you just do it to the whole internet. That's about it. And, there's not much creativity involved. So I'll give you some examples to help, spin. So, here are some nice ones. So this is one that Dan Kaminsky did. And what he did, there's a DNS vulnerability that allows you to see if someone from someone in that local network had visited a particular Wikipedia, had visited a particular web page or a particular domain, based on how quickly the DNS server responds to you. And he did this for the Sony BMG rootkits. As you may remember, they distributed contaminated CDs, and they accessed a very unusual domain. So he had a list of all the name servers in the world and their location, and he see if anyone from that network had accessed the BMG rootkit domain, and the red dots are where they have. And you see there are a lot of dot mils on there and a lot of stuff like that. So that's kind of nice. And what he's especially fantastic is that from this result he was able to set the military industrial complex versus the RAA. Any single human being who can bring those two forces into collision is impressive. And this is kind of neat too. This isn't quite as data mining, but it's very original. So what this does is this basically does some very simple grammar parsing of speeches, and we'll see one here. This is from IBM, I think. So what this does is this is for Alberto Gonzalez's testimony, and you see his most common phrase, you see he doesn't recall more than he knows. I think if we go to I don't, and we can see how much he knows things. But anyway, and I'll say that's the answer. This is a fantastic analysis because you never would have guessed this otherwise. And it's completely damning because there's no way you can get around it. It's just what you gonna do? He doesn't recall, know, or think. And it's completely quantitative. It's beautiful. I wish I had thought of that. Anyway, okay. So I'm just one of the things I have thought of, but someone should do them. So this is someone should make a who is scanner. Everyone knows the who is database, and we all know and love it. But no one's ever exploited this data on a massive scale, and I have no idea why. So I mean, for example, it would be fantastic if you could show me every single domain registered to someone with an @microsoft.com email address. You'll probably find weird furry stuff. And I mean, it'll be hilarious. Or you'll find someone with Wikipedia.org address. You might discover the diaper admin. That's an inside joke. So someone should do that. And the data already exists. You just go get it. And so here's some other ideas that people should do that I don't know what I haven't done yet. And these are all known vulnerabilities. So we all know of cases where naughty data, well, things. There are many people who use the robots.txt exclusion to hide things, because basically the idea is that if Google can't see it, it doesn't exist. Well, so why don't you treat robots.txt as, instead of don't index this, treat it as the good stuff is here. And you make an index of everything explicitly disallowed by robots.txt. You could call it too hot for Google.
I mean, and I personally find it mysterious porn stashes this way. It's wonderful. And so once you do this, another one is the doc metadata. We all know about Microsoft doc metadata. It's been beaten to death. That's 2003 maybe. But no one's ever like, wouldn't it be awesome if you just had an index of everything explicitly removed from .docs from Microsoft.com? Like, you could say, what's everything what's everything so good that I couldn't see it? And the other one is the uncensorable PDF. So we've seen cases before where the government has released PDFs that had black boxes on them, but you could remove the black boxes. You can actually detect relatively easily. Well, so it's a little harder these days because they have a little bit better black boxing technology. But regardless, there's a whole bunch of unblackboxable PDFs out there, people should just do that across all the entire internet. It'd be beautiful. I'm gonna give you a demo of how easy it is. I have some old demos from way back in the day. Do do do. There we go. These movies here are from Simon here in the front row from a long time ago. I don't know if you remember posting to his website. It was a long time. So here we go. So we're going to do a video here. So this is how easy it is to unblackbox things. So yes, it is blackbox. Good to know. No. There's nothing bad yet. It's coming. Yes, it really is that easy. I don't know why people haven't done this yet. I'll show another one just for fun. I'm big pressure, same thing. Yeah, I think it's a little bigger. There we go. Illustrator, that's everything. is it done? Not quite yet. And we're done. Okay. So to so you started these would be on my website. But in short, these are some links to some really handy things I always get asked when people like first trying to do data mining things. Like they ask, how can I scrape Google easily? Well, these free data mining tools link will do that. If you want to see the URL, I'll just show it to you real quick. This gate thing is for doing advanced text parsing. So if you want to get like grammar sentences like that out, this is a good library to do that. But I'll show you this. Oh, can it will pop up at me? Oh, well, I'll show it to you in the URL box. And people always ask me how you can do approximate text matching. There's a really wonderful Python function that just does this. So here you go. Here's the URL here. This is really like a fantastic collection. I think if you just search for a digital methods initiative, you'll probably get this as first hit. This is just a lot of really nice tools that you can build on top of so that way you don't have to do as much work and no one likes work. Here's the text similarity library. It's nothing you couldn't Google. So that's really all I had to say. These are the people that helped contribute to the talk. The three students up there are my summer students. That's Manny Chaney, professor at Caltech. Darola, she's a Wikipedia admin who gave me a lot of these evil ideas. And these other people, they helped along the way. So thank you. Thank you.
Questions? Well, all right then. Oh, we have one? Okay. Well, can you... Okay, sorry.
All right. So what do you think of the possibilities for using as the wiki watching tools improve, using this to frame people through Trojans and open wireless at various companies? Wouldn't it be great to go to Microsoft and vandalize all the Linux articles so that then the press could then report on Microsoft going out and doing these things? So what do you think of those opportunities?
Well, this could happen. This could happen any other way. You might as well say, what if someone Trojan Microsoft and made them, like, DOS random people? I mean, that would be just, that'd be much worse than vandalizing a Wikipedia page. So, I mean, I don't see if there's anything uniquely bad.
Indeed, but the press seems to misunderstand the connection that an IP to an action doesn't necessarily mean accountability.
No, that's fair. I mean, you could always say that, the company would say, oh, we had an open wireless or something like that. I mean, you know, but, probably not. Most of these cases, that would not be true. If it is, well, you know, nothing personal.
So slight nitpick, but as far as the sock puppet issue, are you doing any analysis for removing super large NAT blocks? Like, so I know for a fact that there are, you know, that in the wild we've seen literally hundreds of thousands of users behind single NATs, usually out of country.
Right.
But do you do any analysis for that? Because it'd be sort of damning if you didn't, right?
Right.
If you didn't have a whole bunch of users with the same IP address, like more than 10, maybe that you start to.
In the display I showed you, the answer is no. But the analysis is coming, and that's why it wasn't pretty and colorful, because that one's not going to be public yet. So you'd get a special treat. But yeah, no, I agree. I mean, so like all AOL comes from like only a few IP addresses, and surely not all AOL uses one person. So,
have you considered then putting a spider across your own output to do the sort of auto press release generation style thing?
Sorry, so I don't quite understand.
Basically, merge your output of your individual tools to do the auto detection of probably salacious material. And just generate automatic press releases.
Oh, that'd be good too. That'd be really nice. Yeah, you could do. I like that. Yeah, you could have a very healthy blog doing that.
Hi. How can the people in this room help you be the first Google match for Virgil?
Oh, you can link to me. Yes, you can link to my website, virgil.gr, with the anchor Virgil. This is like I'm currently number 3 on Google for the query Virgil. I know, it's terrible. There's this Roman poet guy. I don't know what his deal is. He's been dead for years. I mean, where does he get off? Anyway, that'd be really sweet if you could do that.
What hardware do you use?
What hardware?
Yeah, to do the data mining.
Oh, just, I don't know. Well, for this particular one, I use an AMD 64 box at Stanford. But whatever. I mean, you know, I use SQL, Linux. Nothing fancy. I mean, I do everything in Python and MySQL. That in Linux. That's all. That's all there is to it. I mean, I don't know. Sorry, I'm a simple person.
Hi.
Hi.
Ditch Day is tomorrow, so you all know. And then secondly, with the database that you have of corporations and their trademarks, how did you develop that, or where did you acquire that?
Well, you can download it from the USPTO.gov, but they eventually block you. So I initially was going to do that. Well, we end up getting most of it. And if you use Tor, you can get around the block pretty easily. I said this way you can buy it, but I couldn't find a way to buy it either. But in short, you can scrape it live, and that works. And then that's the best thing to do right now. It turned out that the inward links measure turned out to be much more useful than the trademark database, which is really nice because it's a lot more elegant, too.
So a few years ago on the SE 2600 list, someone was able to out an anonymous poster by profiling everyone who had ever posted a message to the list and what typos they frequently have and what sort of word selections they often have. And so it would be interesting to do an analysis like that on the Wikipedia database, particularly for people who have a lot of content that they've edited. You might be able to see patterns in terms of their word selection and the like, and that's another way you might be able to identify sock puppets, even if they're doing something smart with regard to their IP.
There actually have been cases where sock puppets have been caught like that, but I'm not smart enough to know how to automate that.
So if you know, I'll write it up. But yeah, I mean, I suspect they're actually probably, I think you had a linguist or a typing ergonomic specialist. They might even know how to do that.
I think there are some neat technical problems in making it work in the Wikipedia context where there's a lot
Definitely.
Of data and a lot of.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, so the answer, I agree with you completely. This has been done. But I personally don't know how to do that off the top of my head. Well, I had a good time, so I hope you all did too.
All right, coming up in a few minutes, Advanced Memory Forensics releasing the cold boot utilities. I